Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. To ask a question during the question-and-answer session, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I will turn the call over to Mr. Casey Plunkett, Director of Worldwide Sales. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, and thank you, everyone, for joining here during this busy part of the fourth quarter. But we concluded that this was an investment worth making here nonetheless. This is Casey Plunkett again. Gartner just released an updated Magic Quadrant for the service desk portfolio, and we've got some very good story to share with you. So Pandy Natharajan is going to accompany me along with Phil Fritz from the brand team. And we're going to kind of give you some perspective on how we fared, how our competition fared in this evaluation. And again, I'd like to really extend my thanks to the product management and development team and our analyst relations team here for really turning around our stature here. The functionality, as you see, is being acknowledged, our ability to execute, et cetera. So Pandy will take us through how to leverage this in closing open deals the rest of this quarter yet, because this is hot off the press insight. Additionally, this will springboard as we create new opportunities and build out our pipeline heading into 2011. So view this as kind of two-for-one type update. Additionally, I want to reiterate that we announced our SaaS offering for Service Desk, and Phil is going to accompany Pandy in here as we walk through that. And the thing I just want to provide a perspective on around the SaaS offering is don't view this simply as an end state goal in your sales strategy. Rather, think of it as a paid POC. And what I mean by that is, more often than not, our customers go into these service desk evaluations and, they do a traditional pilot or POC. They acquire software, they acquire the hardware, they provision and configure the environment. And by the time you look at their out-of-pocket cost to stand up that evaluation environment, I'd argue that they'd be better off, pursuing a minimum order quantity SaaS offering. It's typically 25 grand or less that you can acquire it for under department authority levels. It's OPEX. What we should be doing, team, with the SaaS offering is really encouraging just that. It's a new way to do POCs. Oh, by the way, you get paid for it, unlike a traditional POC. And it allows our customers to focus on evaluating the functionality rather than burning valuable time standing up an environment. So Phil will carry on this thought a little bit more when we go into that review. So, Pandy, and that's my kickoff here. I'd like to invite you over and ask you to take it from here.
Thank you, Casey. This is Pandy and Natharajan. I'm the worldwide product manager for Civly Service Request Manager product. And in the invite, we also put the presentation for this conference call. So if the audience can jump into the presentation and look into move to slide number four. Slide number four shows you the progress of the TSRM positioning within the Gartner Magic Quadrant. In 2008, we started off at the bottom of the niche quadrant. If you look at the leftmost chart, leftmost quadrant, and look at the green arrow, and we were at the bottommost of the niche. I mean, even unknown players were just above us. In 2009, we made a quantum leap to the middle of the niche, and then 2010, we are in the top of the niche quadrant. Again, we are making a continuous progress. It is not an ideal one, but we made a significant progress starting off at the bottom, and just in 2 years, we moved to the top of the quadrant in 2010. The other thing you have to note in this slide is the movement of HP. HP started off as a leader, in 2008. And 2009, they also continued as a leader, but they came down in the execution axis. But in 2010, the latest Magic Quadrant that came out in November 5th, HP is no longer a leader. HP has been moved out of leadership quadrant into challenger quadrant, So for those of you who are competing against HP, this is a good ammo for you to take it to your customer and show it to them how we are making progress, whereas the HP is going down in their positioning within the Magic Quadrant. And same thing to some extent with the CA. And the CA is moving up and down. They're no longer a leader, but their position is changing within the quadrant a bit from period of 2008 to 2010. The message I would like to convey here is the progress we have been making and the investment IBM has been putting on the product is or should give enough confidence to the customer that IBM is here to stay and they are planning to make continuous investment to make improvements to the product, which in turn will help us to position this product in the leadership quadrant probably in the next few years. So moving on to the next slide, number 5. Again, I just talked about some of the points already. Basically, the one thing I would like to emphasize here is if you look at or read through the Gartner report, which is available in the War Room Wiki, Gartner has acknowledged IBM is one of the 4 mega vendors. That is BMC, HP, CA, IBM. These 4 vendors are the mega vendors for the service desk product. This is the very first time they acknowledge that we are in the club of the mega vendors. We are in the mega vendors club. Second thing is they also acknowledge that our functionality of the product is on par with all the leading vendors. If you look at HP, if you look at BMC, if you look at CA, they have been investing in this product for the past probably 15 or 20 plus years. And we were able to catch up with them within the last 2 to 3 years in functionality perspective, which is again a great achievement given all the constraints we are going through. We made significant investment in the product to make the product on par with other vendors in the market. Again, this is not end of our game. We will continue to invest. We will continue to improve the functionality, usability, and consumability that will help us to propel towards leadership quadrant. And then the second most important bullet point I would like to emphasize here is IBM's ability to partner with customers to make sure they are successful. And we have been very good at that, and we have been doing that for the past 2 to 3 years, and IBM has, Gartner has openly acknowledged that we are doing that very, very successfully. The not-so-good news in this magic quadrant is we are still in this quadrant. We are not in the leadership quadrant yet, but we are not happy about it, but we are continuously working not only improving functionality of the product, but also with the customers to make sure that they get value of the investment they put on our product. So this is going to help us in the next few years to help us move to the leadership quadrant. Going on to the next slide, number 6. This slide talks about the strengths and weaknesses mentioned by Gartner in their Magic Quadrant report. The strength is basically obvious to all of us here. They talk about a strong brand name of IBM, and then we have a large global organization, and then we also have the excellent ability to partner with the customers. So these are the strengths, and I think most of our customers know about this, but it's, again, worthwhile to emphasize a point again and again with the customer that we have been doing this successfully and Gartner has openly acknowledged in the report. But let us look at the weakness, or the cautions, they call it. The cautions is the one some of our customers pay attention to. The first caution Gartner has told is the improvement in the functionality of change management. Basically, they are focusing on the forward schedule of change, approvals, and task assignments. And Gartner has evaluated our product and 7.2 release, and again, the caution comments are made based on some of the comments made, they got it from the customers. But the good news here is we fix these issues in 7.2 and 7.21 release of our CCMDB. So the caution mentioned by Gartner has been taken care of already. The second thing we're talking about is the performance. That's one of the cautions given by the Gartner that some customers complained about the performance. Again, we are aware of that issue. In fact, a specific well-focused performance team has been put in place in China, and their only responsibility is to make sure that the performance of TSRM as well as CCMDB and TAMIT has improved as a product set. And they have been giving a lot of recommendations on how to fine-tune some of the queries and how to fine-tune some of the database functions. And from that angle, the performance of TSRM is being continuously improved. We started off with 900 concurrent users, and then recently we have gone up to 1,200, and then we are targeting 2,500 for next year and moving to 4,500 concurrent users as continues to make progress to achieve that goal. The second aspect is the forthcoming release of 7.5 of TSRM. There are specific functionality are being put in place to improve the performance of the product. So the second caution given by the customer is also being taken care of. The third caution given by Gartner is on the reporting. Basically, they say that reports provided by the product out of the box is very basic. Again, here, there are two things I would like to emphasize. One thing is we are improving the out-of-the-box content based on the feedback we are getting from the customer as well as from the Tivoli services team and the GTS ITD team. So the reporting functionality or reports provided out-of-the-box is being improved. The second thing is whatever we do in terms of providing the out-of-the-box reports, there are always going to be some customer who says that I don't have the report what I am looking for. So we went ahead with Hardock reports as well as Cognos-based reporting. In 7.2.1, we do provide support for Cognos, so that's going to give tremendous flexibility to the customers to generate reports that meet their needs. So the gist of the slide is all the three cautions mentioned by the customer have been addressed, and some of them are being continuously worked on, especially the performance. So when you talk with your customer, please mention this as the item that IBM has addressed, and it will continue to focus on addressing it in the future releases. So these three slides, what I just talked about, concludes the Gartner Magic Quadrant topic. The next topic I would like to jump to is the SaaS offering that you have been waiting for quite some time. The offering name is Tivoli Live Service Manager, and I'm going to talk about the offering, and along with me, Phil Fritz, who's leading this SaaS offering initiative, is here, so he'll jump in as needed. Again, hold your questions until the end of this call, and we should be able to answer all the questions you have on this SaaS offering. And in the last probably two or three quarters, we have been seeing that ServiceNow is taking over a lot of our deals. They started off with the mid-sized customers and then slowly inching towards taking some of the enterprise customers. And the main attractiveness of the ServiceNow is the SaaS offering, basically giving the customer the ability to buy the functionality as a service. And so IBM is coming up with a SaaS offering, and ours is much, much, much stronger, and that's what I'm going to talk about now. So if you jump to slide number 8, this talks about the Tivoli Live Service Manager offering. This is a joint offering between GTS and Tivoli Software, and this is targeted for GA on 7th of December. Exactly, another 10 more days, and we are making the GA announcement of this release. And then it combines the TSRM, CCMDB, Release Process Manager, and asset management for IT on 7.2 release, and we are combining all this product set in the SaaS offering. And this SaaS offering will also work with the SaaS offering we have with the monitoring. We also have another SaaS offering called a Tivoli Live monitoring service. So this Tivoli Live service manager and then Tivoli Live monitoring service provide an integrated service management to the customer. Basically, this will help them to create ticket automatically within TSRM based on the events that are being monitored using Tivoli Live monitoring services. So you jump to slide number 9. This talks about some of the highlights. And basically, this SaaS offering is sold by the user role. So that means customer can buy based on their consumption needs. That is today they can start up with one department within IT, and then once they're happy with what they see within the product, they can expand it to the probably a particular location or particular division or throughout the company. So this gives a phased approach for the customer to buy the services based on the number of users they have. Then the second point is this offering includes a very robust CMDB and asset management capability. The reason we would like to emphasize here as a very robust is because the CMDB and asset management capability with ServiceNow, from what we heard from the customers, is very weak. And this is the one thing if you would like to leverage and then convince the customer that our functionality in CMDB and asset management is far superior than what they see in the ServiceNow, that's going to help you to sell this offering to your customer. Then the third point here is all the product I mentioned or all the capabilities are built on one platform. That is, you have a single integrated automation engine called Tivoli Process Automation Engine. And that is the engine that has been used to build all the functionality that we are offering in the SaaS. So because of this integrated model, going from one process, maybe it's an incident or a problem, going all the way up to either configuration management or release process management are going to be seamless. Customer will not know any difference in terms of the GUI, in terms of the workflow, in terms of the escalation. So that's going to be a unique advantage you are going to convey to your customer. Again, the GUI and the interfaces, again, there are a lot of feedback on this, our GUI and interfaces. It has been simplified in 7.2, and that is the version we are using with the SaaS offering. Going on to the next slide, number 10, this talks about the capabilities we have with the Tivoli Live Service Manager SaaS offering. It starts off with the incident and problem management, service request management, service catalog, knowledge management, and then change management, asset management, and service level management, CMDB, with release management. Again, this slide, we also highlighted some of the functionality as a differentiator. If you look at, as I mentioned in my previous slide, the change management, asset management are far superior capabilities compared to what you see with ServiceNow. ServiceNow has taken a lot of our customer based on incident and problem management. I don't think even problem management is that strong, but incident management. When the customers start moving into change, when the customers start going into the asset management, then they realize how difficult it is for the product to work with, and then how probably immature in terms of the functionality. Whereas we are providing a far superior functionality that has been proven in the marketplace with our on-premise sale of this product set. So these differentiators, if we can help to highlight, that will help you to close a lot of SaaS sales you are going to target for this quarter as well as next quarter.
Hey, Pandian, if I could step in, this is Phil Fritz.
Yes, Fritz.
In particular, what we've noticed customers of ServiceNow complaining about are in a couple of areas. First of all, ServiceNow likes to brag about how it updates its functionality every quarter. And the reason they do this, and so therefore there's a lot of value to customers because they get free upgrades every quarter. There's two basic problems with this. First of all, it's a spin to hide the fact that ServiceNow doesn't have the breadth of capability that IBM does, and they're in catch-up mode. They recently announced a module called Field Service Management. Well, that's basically work management, you know, work orders, labor management, things that the TPAE platform does and has been doing for several years now. So all of the financial management, the contracts and procurement of IT assets, for example, these are all very well robust and mature processes within our platform that ServiceNow is still catching up on.
I think that's an excellent point, Phil. That is one of the strong points of our Civil Process Automation Engine. And so we have been doing this for a lot of years, and definitely that's an added differentiator for our product set. Any other point, Phil, you want to add? Okay, moving on to the next slide, number 11. This talks about once the customers bought this SaaS offering from us, it takes basically an hour for them to get access to the application that has been already installed in our data center. We are basically hosting this in our compute cloud platform. So it's already installed. We already have the out-of-the-box contents. So if customer wants to go ahead and start using it, they will be ready in 1 hour to start using the product functionality. So this slide talks about what the process involved and how they can customer get into the product within 1 hour. Then jumping on to the next slide on the pricing. This is one of the important slides. We spent probably months and months of time in arriving at a price point that is very, very competitive compared to not only ServiceNow, but also with the BMC and HP and CA, who are all have come out with the SaaS offering. So if you look at the slide, the service desk user, again, please recall I mentioned that you are selling these licenses based on the user role. So the one user role is the service desk user who has got the capability to do incident, problem, and change management. Again, there's a difference. In TSRM today, in the on-premise product, TSRM, you can do only incident and in problem. And then for change, then you need to buy a Civil Change Management product or CCMDB product. Whereas in the SaaS offering, if the customer buys a service desk user role, then they get the incident, problem, and change management capability at a price of $86 per user per month. Then for the service catalog user role, it's available at $76 per user per month, followed by the change and release and the CMDB capability. Basically, that is available at $76 again per user per month. Again, all the prices here are per user per month basis. Then the asset management, it's basically both the software license management as well as the hardware lifecycle management, both the functionality. Again, ServiceNow does not have that software license management, or even if they have, it's going to be very, very primitive compared to the sophisticated functionality we provide with our product set. That is available at $96 per user per month. Then customer has got also the flexibility to buy the combo user, basically that provides all the functionality above at $156. Again, this is a monthly price based on per user. There is no upfront charges for onboarding a customer, and we are not charging any money for that. And the only thing we insist is the minimum period should be 1 year, with the minimum number of users should be 25 users. Again, when I say users, basically the users mean the administrators, agents, managers. Those are considered as users. The self-service requester, that is who submit the tickets, they're not considered as users. They're end users, and they're for free. And then we also provide 24/7 phone and email support, and we also provide an exclusive VPN tunnel for extra charge. And then we typically sell the term in increment of years. You can sell it for 1 year or 2 year or 3 year or 5 year. You can sell it for 1 year and 3 months or 1 year and 4 months or something like that. It is goes in increment of number of years. And this SaaS offering entitles the customer only to the services. They don't own the product licenses. The product licenses are owned by IBM. So basically the customers provide the customers buy the services. And again, this is comes under the operational budget of the customer, and it makes easier for them to go and get the budget approved. Whereas if you go with the traditional on-premise one, where you have to go with the CapEx and APEX, that's where the customer has got challenges given the economy we are in. So the beauty of the SaaS model is all the pricing what we put here, and whenever customer buy user-based services using the SaaS offering, they are going to use the APEX of their budget, and that's very advantageous for all the customers. Then if you look at the number 13, this is the various licensing scenarios. I'm not going to go through individually everything, but you will be able to see for each user role what type of a capability they are going to get. Just for an example, if you look at the service desk user, you are going to get the capability for incident, problem, and change. And then if you look at the service release and CMDB user, you are going to get the capability for change, and then release and CMDB, just for an example. Again, this slide is a very self-explanatory, and if you have any questions, feel free to either contact me or Phil, and we'll be happy to clarify that. Then jumping to the next slide, this is very specific about how to sell the Tivoli Live Service Manager. As I mentioned in the beginning of this call, this is a joint offering between GTS and Tivoli. And there is no PPA and there is no FCT number for this one. This is basically goes through a GTS contract via a statement of work. Basically, you will be using the Deal Hub that I'm going to talk about in the next slide. And then, basically, you're selling it through GTS contract. There is no PPA or FCT numbers for this one. And then, basically, this is based on monthly service charges based on number of users. Again, this will be billed. The customers will be billed by GTS. And we require a minimum of 25 users and maximum of 500 supported users as of today. These numbers may go up in the future releases, but the maximum as of today is 500 supported users. And then the service level objective is we will provide 24/7 call center support and then 24-hour turnaround commitment. In addition to that, we also provide a forum support. It's basically a Tivoli Live community. It's a forum that provides support for any customer questions. Going to the next slide, number 15. This slide, again, continue on the specific of the Tivoli Live service offering. As I mentioned, because there is no PPA or FCT number, you go through a GTS contract, so you'll be working with the Deal Hub, which is acting as the central processing point for any sale you make on the Tivoli Live service manager. Deal Hub can process a discount of more than 5%. Basically, you can give a discount up to 5%, but anything more than that, you need to go through Deal Hub. And Deal Hub will take care of involving the right persons to process the higher discount you're proposing. Again, the discounting level and the level of approvals vary. You're not going to get a huge discount because we are running this, we are priced this offering at a very, very thin margin, so you will not be able to offer a huge discount to your customer. So this is not going to be your business as usual. Let's throw in 70% or 80% of the discount to close the deal, and it's going to be extremely rare to get that kind of discount in this offering. And you can go up to 5 or anything above 5, you have to go through Deal Hub, and depending upon the type of discount you on the level of discount you propose and various level of approvals are there. So just this is helpful for when you try to work on a deal. Phil, you want to add anything to this, the deal structure or discount structure here? Okay. Jumping to the next slide, number 16. Again, who can sell this offering? This can be sold by the service management rep, or also called a civil portfolio rep. It can also be used by service management light rep, that is a portfolio rep without EAM. It can also be sold by the civil automation sales team, and GTS also selling through their sales team. And then we are targeting the business partner enablement in the first half of 2011, and those business partners should be as a part of GTS business partner program, and then more details will come up about this one sometime later. But if you have any questions on this one, probably you may have to ping or send an email to Phil Fritz and Jennifer Cady, whose emails are already available in the slide. So this slide concludes the second major point of our presentation, that is the SaaS offering from Civily called Civily Live Service Manager, which is going to be GA'd on 7th December. That is in another 10, 15 days from now. And then we talked about the various functionality. We talked about the pricing. We talked about how it's going to be sold. So if you have any questions on anything, if you want to get on one-on-one with us, feel free to send me an email. This is Pandian Athirajan. You have my email ID in the slide deck, or send an email to Phil Fritz. The email ID is also available in slide number 16. Or just send an email to Casey. He will definitely catch hold of us to talk to you on one-on-one if needed. Phil, I can't hear you, Phil. I don't know if anybody in the audience can hear you. I'm just getting the same time that Phil is talking. Okay, the next point I would like to jump to is the specific features we introduced in 7.21 release of CSRM. The reason I would like to emphasize this release is basically there are a lot of questions and concerns from the customers as well as sales team with respect to the interfaces, with respect to the reporting and runbook automation. Though we added a lot of functionality in 7.21 release, but I would like to draw your attention to the four critical functional enhancements we did in 7.21 release of TSRM. And that is going to be your takeaway points. If you look at slide number 18, that talks about the key features, I called out your attention only to four key features. We have a lot more, but I'm not going to confuse you with all the features we have in the product. These are the four key features I want you to take away from today's call. The first feature is the newly designed Web 2.0 GUI. This is for the end user. The typical feedback we got from some of the sales deals I was part of, as well as the feedback I got from the last deals in TSRM, as well as the various feedback you have been kind enough to pass on to me for the past 2 years. The message was uniformly clear, that is the GUI for the end user is so dense, so complex, customers feel that you have to be a technical person to work with the product. So towards that angle, what we did in 7.21 is we completely redesigned the end user GUI. We went with a Web 2.0 technology. We made it very simple, very intuitive, and very pleasant to look at. I have some screenshots attached with the slide deck. Feel free to take a look at it. You will see that this screen is completely different from the traditional screen you have been seeing for the past 2 or 3 years. Again, this screen is mainly for the end user only. For the administrators, managers, agents, they will continue to get the traditional Maximo GUI, and they are very comfortable with that. In fact, some of the feedback I got from the enterprise customers, especially from admin perspective, agent perspective, they like the GUI because it has all the information they need and they're able to use it very effectively. So the first important feature is the newly designed end-user interface that is built on Web 2.0. The second feature in 7.2.1 is the runbook automation. And this is one of the most important features we introduced in 7.2.1 based on some of the deals we lost to BMC and HP in the past. And we given a full-blown runbook automation capability in 7.2.1. I also attached some of the slides, screenshots in this deck. The third important feature in 7.2.1 is the integration with the BMC Remedy. Again, this has been requested by the sales team for the past probably 2 or 3 years. Because of some licensing issues, we couldn't release it earlier. We sorted all those issues, and we released an integration module with the BMC Remedy. What it means is if customers got BMC Remedy, using the module, TSRM can coexist with the BMC Remedy, and then they can use that to exchange the ticket data and other data as needed so that you can use TSRM as the enterprise service desk that has got the data of all the tickets belonging to our various divisions or belonging to the entire enterprise. Again, the third bullet point, critical feature is the integration module with the BMC Remedy. The fourth important key feature is the improved reporting capability through Cogna support. Again, this question has come up multiple times from a lot of enterprise customers whom I met with in person as well as over conference call. Cogna support provides extreme flexibility to the customer to create special reports as they need it. They don't have to wait for the out-of-the-box content we provide. They don't have to spend a lot of time in creating a special report they need, but the interfaces or the functionality of Cognos enables them to build reports on the fly to meet whatever their need is. So basically, again, to reemphasize, there are four key features in 7.2.1. One is the newly designed end-user interface. Second thing is the runbook automation capability. The third thing is the integration with the BMC Remedy. And then fourth important feature is the Cogna support for reporting. And if you look at the slides, basically 19 and 20, 19 gives the end-user interface. That is, when end-user log in, this is the GUI they will see. Probably if those who have the slides in front of them, they can see that this GUI is completely different from the traditional Maximo GUI, what you have been seeing all along. So this is one drastic improvement. Again, if you look at the interfaces and the menu it's provided, it's extremely intuitive and easy to use. And it's not dense, and it is not going to startle the end user to say, oh my God, I need to go through a training to use the product. It's very, very simple. If they know how to use a web application, if they know how to use the internet, they should be able to use this GUI without any problem. In slide number 20, again, another short screenshot of the same end-user GUI, again, going one level deeper. Then if you look at the slide number 21, this talks about some of the functionality we provided towards runbook automation. Runbook automation is basically gives the increased capability through the workflow as well as through the scripting. So because you are going to create a lot of runbooks, there are going to be a lot of workflows that are going to be created. So we enhance the workflow designer. The workflow designer, what you are going to see is based on iLog along with the Maximo traditional workflow engine. Then we also provided the workflow administration capability. And then we have a new interface for the workflow launcher. Then we have the automation script. Basically, there is no runbook no runbook can be generated without the automation script. So we provide the very much enhanced capability for scripting. Then, because of the scripting, as well as the new workflow, you are going to get improved OMP integration if needed for your runbook. This OMP integration can be with the IBM product as well as non-IBM product. So if you look at the next two slides, that is slide number 22 as well as 23, that shows the screenshots for the new workflow engine as well as the workflow designer. Especially, I would like to draw your attention to slide number 23. There you will see that workflow canvas is completely different than what you have seen in traditional TSRM 7.1 and 7.2 and 6.x product. And again, if you get an opportunity, please try the demo. We already loaded the 7.2.1 image in the ArtArt system. Please try the demo. Please use that image. I think a lot of your sales team has got the 7.x or 6.x images running on their laptop. That does not display or convey the improvements we have done over the past two releases. So once again, I request the team to use the ArtArt image that has got the latest image, latest version of the product, and we also added a lot of demo data, so that will help you to do the demo much more effectively to the customer. Then if you look at the next few slides, starting from slide number 24 to 27, these slides are basically show you the screenshots of the Cognos support we provide in TSRM 7.2. Please take a look at these slides at your leisure, and I'm not going to go through those screenshots in detail, but if you do have any questions, feel free to ping me. I'll be happy to do the demo for you if specifically you want to see the Cognos reporting. So just to recap, we went through the Gartner Magic Quadrant. We talked about how the positioning of TSRM has improved over the 2 years. We moved all the way from the bottom of the quadrant to the top of the niche quadrant in a matter of just 2 years. And then we talked about the Tivoli Live Service Manager. It's one of the very important SaaS offering we make from Tivoli. And this is being released on 7th of December. And then you are going to get the entire service desk, CMDB, asset management, service catalog, and then the release process management capabilities in this release. We talked about the pricing. We talked about how this can be sold. Then I covered the most important features of TSRM 7.2.1 that has been released in August of this year. In the 7.2.1 release, I talked about the new end-user interface built on Web2.0. I talked about the runbook automation. I talked about the integration module with the BMC Remedy. I also talked about the improved reporting capabilities through Cognos support. So with that, I would like to conclude today's Tivoli talk. I would like to open this up for any questions.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. To withdraw your request, please press star 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes.
Can you hear me now, Phil? Okay.
And I do have a question from Rob Geer. Your line is open.
Yes, hi, Casey, Pandy, and Phil. Rob Geyer here. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Yeah, listen, really good. Congratulations on this. I know it was a lot of work, both on the product, Pandian, and Phil on the service management live. Actually, pleasantly surprised by some things here, so this is great. I'm a little disappointed, though, that business partners aren't from the get-go able to be involved in this, because I think we could do a lot of good. I know you say 2011. Can you be a little more specific on maybe when business partners would be able to participate? And I know we've got to go through the GTS partner program, but I think you know a little bit about the company I work for, and I think we could really help move certainly the service management live product.
Yeah, Rob, and just to answer that question, we're targeting the first quarter of next year, so we want to get this done as quickly as possible. We're on a fast-track path to get this up and running on our cloud, so we had to streamline some of the things we normally do for an offering, and normally out of the gate we want to be able to enable it for business partners. But our goal is to get that enablement ready by the first quarter. It's hopefully something I'm looking to announce at Pulse, but for now that's the plan.
Okay. And just to follow up, if I may, kind of along the same lines there, I know that, you know, ServiceNow in particular sells the offering by itself. In other words, you get a URL and you can get up and running in, you know, an hour or so. But more often than not, there are, you know, integration or configuration implementation services that are going to be required to really make the customers, to meet the customer's requirements. So how, in the absence of business partners to do that, are you going to address those issues? In other words, data migration from, let's say, a remedy system you're replacing, or integration into third-party applications that the customer insists upon, things like that. How is that going to be handled
right,
in addition to the product itself?
So even though you're not going to, out the boat, have access to resell the service, it doesn't stop anybody from engaging your services to do those exact things today. So the customer is going to have admin access to the product, and that admin access can be granted over to a business partner in order to work on an integration. So to all the sellers out there, if your customer for service for Tivoli Live Service Manager needs additional value-added services that a partner can provide, this offering does not stop those services to be delivered. All right? All we're really saying here is that, you know, for now, there's not a contracting mechanism in place that allows the partner to resell the service and then add those services on top. But if you're driving a deal that requires integration work, absolutely, a current business partner today can be engaged to provide those value-added services.
Okay, thanks. And again, congratulations. This is, I think, going to be very well received out in the market. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's hope it is well received.
Our next question comes from Mike Williams. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning. Thank you very much. This is really an exciting time. A couple questions. On the slide on the current offering for Service Manager that will be in December, you talk about 7.2, is it good to assume that it will be 7.2.1?
Yes, we do have in our roadmap the refresh to those images. So
yes,
that as we, you know, our goal is to keep the SaaS current with the latest product offering out there. And so,
okay,
you know, our expectation is we can roll that out in 2011.
Okay, as we move forward, and this kind of dovetails into the question about services, will there be a setup where we will move from development to testing to into production environments within the cloud?
Yes, that's a very astute question. One of the things that we're also going to be doing is publishing these images on the test dev cloud from IBM, so
okay,
that and we're trying to work some of the business case underpinnings to this, so that, you know, we provide entitlement to Tivoli Live customers, but one of the use cases is having these instances out there on test dev cloud, so that not just your SaaS customers but any customers can fire up test dev instances of this environment and leverage the cloud that way.
Okay, so on the question about partner services or even IBM services, as we move from dev to test to production, will the customer site then have access through the migration manager to move those configuration items?
That's right.
Okay, great. That's it. Good selling. Wow.
Well, we're excited.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1.
If there are no more questions, I do want to have a couple of points I was trying to make during Pandian's presentation, and unfortunately for audio difficulties, I wasn't able to make. I do want to call out two things. One other piece of feedback we've gotten on ServiceNow is that their quarterly migration has also presented severe problems for some of our enterprise customers, in the sense that when they do their upgrades, they effectively have to re-implement any customizations they've done to the environment. So they don't have a very good separation of data and application logic, which is not the case with our solution. Our solution has that data separation done in logic very well, so that it, when we do enhance or upgrade the underlying offering, those customizations, typically involving workflows and users and things of that nature, are transparently carried through. So that's another sort of tick point you can use when you're talking to customers that are looking at ServiceNow. And the last point I'll make is that particularly with the workflow editor and some of the enhancements we're making there, it essentially enables a non-developer person, a person that may understand the process very well, for problem or incident or any of these other elements, allows them to use a tool that if you know how to use Visio, you know how to implement processes within the TPAE. In ServiceNow, they don't have this. You have to be a developer, right? So you have to develop those changes and use a command line interface to implement any workflow modifications or anything that's required for integration or for out of the box. So for those two areas, I think that it's important to recognize that, you know, as we start hearing more and more about these implementations and starting to see some of the real-world problems that cut through some of the marketing hype that you see these from these vendors, we'll be presenting more of these details to you. And then finally, in terms of the pricing model, you'll notice that all the prices except for the combo user are either at or below ServiceNow's competitive pricing. And the reason for doing these role-based pricing models is that it allows us to provide a competitive price, but at the same time be able to sell the value of our integrated offering. Our asset management users, for example, provide a tremendous amount of capabilities we already discussed over ServiceNow. But yeah, you know, if you combine these users as an average price, it's still around $85 a user. So we've put together a very competitively priced offering with a lot more value. I think we have to stress that this is a value sale at the end of the day, but the pricing gets our foot in the door, gets us in the conversation, and allows us to have serious eye-to-eye comparisons with ServiceNow.
There are no further questions at this time.
Casey, if there are no questions, can we end the call, Casey, or anything else you want to add?
No, I would just say, team, we are here to help you. Thank you for your time here today, and you know, don't hesitate in escalating any issues you have with respect to pricing, resources, references down the home stretch here. Thank you, and the call is adjourned.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may disconnect at this time.